Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with your brand new month. I'll tell you, I'm ready for it. Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. The Buckmaster Show, getting things rolling here on the new month. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show, will begin 14th year with the radio program in the Green Valley. Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI. Trusted News and Talk will begin our 14th year in January. We have worldwide live listening on our website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. All of our podcasts going all the way back to the beginning of our program in January of 2011 are available at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, of which we will be doing, three today. They are presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. To get the ball rolling, Terry Bracey, reporting from the nation's capital, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry's had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests in the Capitol, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He is the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And in addition, Terry is a contributor, regular contributor, to the op-ed page, the opinion page at the Arizona Daily Star. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing just fine, Bill. Hiding from the heat like everybody else.
Yeah, we've had quite the summer here with all the damage from the big storms, but we'll save. Folks have heard me talk about that. They heard me talk a lot about it yesterday. So we've got some breaking news concerning the University of Arizona, Terry. And I know you're probably anxious to hear this, as are a lot of other people. The presidents of the Pac-12 schools met this morning with the Pac-12 commissioner about TV rights. This thing's been going on and on. Apparently, it's not a good deal. They don't have a deal. They're going to meet again. Well, this afternoon, the University of Arizona will be meeting with the Board of Regents. I think this is a special meeting. The speculation now, Terry Bracey, is really building that the U of A will leave the Pac-12 to join the Big 12 conference following on the announcement of the University of Colorado a couple of days ago.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Bill. You've got a good Board of Regents and some good leadership there with Fred Duvall, so I'm sure they'll make the best decision for the university. It's really a tough era because it's all driven by television revenue.
Yep.
And just like it seems like all of the sports are consolidating in some way. We have this big battle going on in golf right now. And, you know, college football has really become kind of minor league professional football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before long you may see the players have a union.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not at all be surprised about that. There was talk of it a couple of years ago that started at a school I attended for a brief time, Northwestern, which has other problems right now with their athletic program. But anyway, we have the August. Here we are, August, Terry, and the Republicans are lining up for their first presidential debate.
One of the problems, I think, Bill, with our whole system of government is that it goes on too long. You know, the Europeans do it in 6 weeks and we do it in 2 years. And it becomes a very big, expensive operation, which requires an incredible amount of money. The first reports on finances are out today, and it's amazing what they show. For example, Donald Trump, who is leading everybody by a lot, has raised over $150 million.
Wow.
And of that $150 million, he has about $2 million left.
Huh.
all of that money has gone to legal fees.
Oh, my goodness.
Legal fees. And he's paying for himself, and he's paying for a lot of the witnesses who are supporting him, apparently. So it's a really interesting thing to look at. If you look at who's got more money now, it's Ron DeSantis, who was supposed to be the candidate from Central Casting, and he lined up a tremendous amount of support from the big givers. But the truth of the matter is he has $100 million in the bank, but he seems not to have a personality. He's not going over well at all.
Yeah. So I don't think his campaign has got much traction so far. Do you?
Well, when you have $100 million, you've got something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of money. He's trying to recast his campaign as a populist campaign now. He started, remember, as an establishment person, and he started on the far right. You know, we were going to have a national anti-abortion law. We were going to have whatever he's done in Florida, for example, in the schools, where he's banned books and done all this kind of stuff. Well, he's decided that that isn't the way to go. And now he's kind of just aping Trump. He's copying exactly the economic program he put out yesterday. Was it just exactly what President Trump's economic program was?
So how do any of these people expect to have a chance in you know what right now that are up there, going to be up there on the stage?
Well, I don't know that any of them has a chance, but you're going to have people like Governor Christie, who is in the race solely to apparently destroy President Trump. And if President Trump isn't doing that to himself, it's really a kind of a sad thing to look at. They do have one interesting guy in the race, and I know people will think I'm crazy, but he kind of looks like a Republican Obama to me. And he's a guy named, listen to this, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
He's a biotech entrepreneur, not a billionaire, but very, very rich. He went to public schools and then ended up at Harvard, graduated summa cum laude, and then to Yale. And he was also one of the top-ranked tennis players in the United States as a junior. He's a very interesting guy. And people like this, sometimes when you have a big crash at the top and there's a big mess, sometimes people come out like this. They emerge. And I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying he has the kind of personality and background that might give him a chance, although a long shot. But you have Mike Pence, who he raised $1 million. I mean, when people are raising $100 million, the former vice president raises $1 million, it doesn't seem like there's, you know, much taste for him in the Republican Party. But so you have Mike Pence, you have Doug Burgum, who is a very interesting guy. He's the governor of North Dakota. And, of course, to get in this race, to get on television, you had to show that you could raise a great number of $20 contributions. And so he donated, for every dollar donated, he gave people a $20 gift card.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
And I have heard I've heard some of his ads. He's got some national radio ads that are running on some of the more conservative radio shows. But so I don't know. Hey, Terry, we're just about out of time. Didn't have time to get to the craziness in the House of Representatives. Do you have a few quick thoughts on that for us?
Well, it's really it's a disgrace what's going on there. The latest thing is the speaker. I thought he did a very courageous thing when he stepped in the breach and we saved the debt ceiling, and that was a good thing. But now what's happened is he's got to play to the right wing, and this Freedom Caucus is too right for the right, and they're demanding now that he impeach Biden. And the two women who are most prominent in the caucus, they are, Boebert, what's her name? Lorraine Boebert, and of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They had practically a fist fight on the House floor, calling each other, excuse the term, bitches. Over who first had this idea. I mean, that's the depth that it's gone to. And it's just so sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Okay, Terry, until next time, we'll look for your opinion pieces in the Arizona Daily Star. Do you have any coming up you want to tell us about or no?
I have one in mind, but Ann Brown hasn't given me the go-ahead yet.
Okay.
So I'll wait to hear from her.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday as we kick off the month of August. Shelley Fishman couldn't take it anymore and decided, I have got to find some cool air, cool mountain air. He just landed up in the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. And we'll talk to Shelley on the live line right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is on the live line from Denver, Colorado. Shelley said, "I can't take it anymore. I need to go somewhere cool." So hopefully he's got some cool mountain air in his future. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. This is a very strange day for me, and I apologize for the background noise. I'm in an unconscionably long line at a car rental place that the name of which shall remain anonymous, but we've been on this line now for 45 minutes and I've had this rental confirmation for literally weeks. Nevertheless, so here I am.
Boy, I've been there before. I hate that when you're waiting there in line for those rental cars. And, wow. Remember O.J.?
I signed on to my financial site this morning and had the scare of my life. It looked like the markets were down 1,000 points, but somebody had hacked the site.
Oh, man. How weird. I was just going to say, do you remember those ads with O.J. Simpson running through airports? The ads were with Hertz, I think. And he'd run through the airport, and there was always, his car was always ready, Shelley.
Well, he's O.J. Simpson. I'm not.
Well, so here we are. Pretty good news all across the board with the market, Shelley.
You know, we keep on getting good news, and it keeps on piling one on top of the next. Last week, we found out that the annualized second quarter GDP growth was 2.4%. We haven't had a 2.4% year, I think, in 20 years. The thinking now among most analysts is that the GDP for the year, when it finally gets announced in February of next year, will come in at around 2%. 2% GDP growth for a year is about the average, maybe a little higher than the average, for the last 20 years.
That's good news.
And then this morning, we found out that job openings were down a little bit for the month of June, and the Fed will consider that to be good news. There's still 4 or 5 million open jobs out there, but anything that Mr. Powell considers to be good news, I think, is a good thing, because that means he will be less likely to raise rates again this year.
Has Powell removed the possibility of a recession? Is the R word now kind of out of the vocabulary for the time being?
Well, would that he had the power to remove the R word from the real world. What he said was, "We don't think there's going to be one, so we're going to take it off the advice that we've been giving, and for the foreseeable future, we don't see a recession."
Again, another piece of good news. Shelley,
absolutely.
Yeah, consumer spending is down a bit, but still not in record territory.
Well, it's actually very near record territory. Consumer spending has been bolstered for a while by the stimulus that came out of the Biden administration. People were spending that down. Now there's been what I consider to be a disturbing increase in credit card debt, but it hasn't reached the point where you really need to be alarmed about it. If that continues, if people are continuing to spend on 18 or 16% monthly debt, that's not a good thing. But for now, they are spending. People are spending on services. They're spending on travel, as you can see just listening to what I'm seeing in front of me right now. And there's a general air of positivism, I think, in the country as a whole, but they're not giving Biden credit for it. So we'll have to talk about that at a later time. But when you have consumer spending as high as it has been, and you have unemployment as low as it has been, and still, you know, several million jobs that are not going filled, and you have wages running at around the level of inflation, that's very good news for the economy. And, you know, we're now seeing that in the American public's willingness to spend and to act as if recession and inflation were not problems. You know, we're outperforming the rest of the industrialized world. And that doesn't happen by accident, Bill. It just doesn't.
Well, as they say during the presidential races, Shelley Fishman, it's the economy, stupid. So I imagine Biden and the team should be talking up the fact that, what is it, about 13 million new jobs created?
Exactly. More than in any other two-year administration, you know, in galactic history. So if the Democrats can finally get their messaging act together, then people will begin, I think, to attribute to Mr. Biden some of the accomplishments that he's really had. I never have confidence in the Democrats having their messaging act together. So who knows? But the Republicans are going to find any weakness they can and keep on harping on it. So we'll still hear Schadenfreude from the other side, but if the numbers keep on coming in the way they're coming in, we can look for a very good end of this year and into next year. And for Biden's sake, hopefully good news into the election.
And when you look at the markets, the stock markets now are at or near record highs on pretty much all of the indices, and showing
positive territory even for the year. And despite what my computer said to me this morning, today, I think last time I looked, was, you know, pretty much a level day. But we're very close to bull market territory.
Hey, Shelley, and a little bit, do you have any more on so what got hacked that actually it was put out that the market had dropped 1,000 points?
1,008 points on
what?
The Dow. That was Yahoo Finance, which I just use as a kind of my welcome screen when I turn on my handheld. And I kept on looking and looking and looking, and finally I panicked and I said, hey, if this is going on today and I can't find a reason for it, help me out. So I called my current advisor and I said, you know, if you hear anything, please send me an email. But then a couple of minutes later, I figured out that it was just a hack and it wasn't to be taken seriously.
So you're in line for a rental car, another indication. Yeah. Travel is back, isn't it, Shelley? Really busy, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Very, very busy. And I'm looking forward to getting out of the plateau and into the mountains and into some music festivals at Central City and Aspen.
Should be nice. Shelley, we've got a couple of minutes left. What about, you know, we've been pretty optimistic here, but of course, things can always go wrong, hopefully not too wrong. But what are some of your concerns, Shelley Fishman?
Well, I have several concerns. One is that something will go awry internationally that will peak inflation, or, you know, some company will go on strike that peaks inflation. Or the Ukraine war will cause inflation in the food sector, or because of global warming, we start to get some food effects in the crops that causes people to believe that their cost of living is not coming back down to something that's reasonable. If that is the widespread fear, and it shows that inflation is a widespread fear, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's my biggest fear. But right now, I'm putting that aside, as did Mr. Powell.
Well, inflation, apparently, what Powell did, I guess it's worked. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'll give him credit. I mean, it's down at 3%, both at the retail and the wholesale level. Nobody thought it would come down this quickly. Rents are still a little bit high. Housing prices are recovering, which means that they're not being affected very much by the higher interest rates. What we find out is that individuals normally have interest rates that are fixed rather than variable on the debt that they hold. And when that's the case, the things that the Fed does don't really affect them directly. And so they're not too badly affected by these raises in interest rates. What are affected are banks and some of the sectors that are more directly subject to short-term interest rate hikes. And so I just hope that the Fed can back off for a while.
Okay, Shelley, we will let you continue on as you launch into your vacation, which has started off, let's say rather slow in the rental car line. But you'll be before you know it, you'll be in that automobile and headed toward to the Rocky Mountain High. Shelley, have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're kicking off Tuesday in August. Here we go. Back after this.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Okay, midway point on the Buckmaster Show. First day of August. Good time to get over to Green Things. Green Things and Zocalo Village, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and their 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, 53rd year of business. They are open daily. And they are ready. I think many people in our neighborhood are going to need to pretty much replace their entire garden after the two 1-in-100-year weather events that hit our neighborhood within 10 or 12 days. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of empty pots in our backyard right now. I've pulled up a lot of dead plants. They just couldn't stand the hurricane force winds. And hey, did I mention the quarter size hail? So what a month of July, the hottest ever in Tucson, Arizona. And of course, up in Phoenix, seems like every newscast is talking about Phoenix this summer. So you've got Tucson and Phoenix both setting records, not only for high temperatures, but for the number of excessive heat watches that have occurred. Ladd Keith is a University of Arizona expert on heat policy and governance. He is at the University of Arizona. He is an assistant professor of planning and sustainable built environments in the UA College of Planning, Architecture, and Landscape Architecture. And he joins us now on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Ladd, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for having me on today, Bill.
Well, this thing about Phoenix, this seems to be the focus this summer of kind of the epicenter of the maybe global warming, and some are now saying, Ladd, global boiling. But have you noticed as well, why do you think Phoenix is now this kind of all the focus on Phoenix, where, yeah, it gets hot in Phoenix every year, and I will grant you it's a little different this year, but why the focus on Phoenix?
Yeah, no, I think you characterized it correctly. So Phoenix just ended a record-breaking streak of 31 days of 110-plus temperatures. And, of course, we just learned today that July averaged a record-breaking 102.7 degrees Fahrenheit. So I think there's a lot of attention to the records that they're breaking, but then also the impacts from heat. So the deaths, the illnesses occurring. We've heard about saguaros being toppled due to climate change and the urban heat island effect. So I think, you know, rightly, there's a lot of attention on it, but through a lot of the other interviews I've been giving, have been trying to make everyone aware outside of Arizona that obviously other places are being impacted by heat, right? So it's not just Phoenix, it's the medium and smaller communities, the rural areas across the state, across the Southwest, too.
Yeah, and I know you have been doing interviews with media, international media, media all over the world, and you have been warning against emphasizing that the Valley of the Sun is kind of the sole place that heat is impacting. And cities around Tucson, cities in southern Arizona, over in New Mexico, this is a huge regional high-pressure system that is park itself over southern Arizona and the Southwest.
It is, and the danger of us focusing on Phoenix as the epicenter for all things heat-related, my worry is that more temperate and cooler cities in the United States and across the world that aren't currently being impacted by the high temperatures that we're seeing, but in the past have been. And so I'm thinking of Portland, Seattle, Vancouver in 2021 when they had the Pacific Northwest heat dome, right? And we want to make sure that those cooler communities are also aware that they have potential risk for heat as well. So it's not just a desert city phenomenon, of course.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Ladd, that you bring up. Places like Seattle and Portland, when that heat dome was over that area of the Northwest, they were places like Portland were reporting temperatures of 105. Seattle, I think, was well over 100. These people are not used to that. But one point, is it driving home a point that this global warming situation, all cities now in the United States now need to take some kind of action?
Yeah, absolutely. And many cities did get the wake-up call after that Pacific Northwest heat dome in 2021. And so I think that did increase awareness. But certainly we want to keep that awareness as high as possible, because how we govern heat, how we plan for heat, is still very far behind how we plan for other climate hazards like flood risk, wildfires, sea level rise, drought.
So increasing temperatures aren't really, I mean, they're not really new for us living here in the Southwest. But, Ladd, this year feels different. It feels different not only here in Tucson with the excessive heat warnings day after day. It feels different with the high temperatures. It feels different with the very high low temperatures that are recorded. It feels different in the 2 1-in-100-year weather events that hit my home and my neighbors' homes in the central foothills within 10 days, these violent storms that old-timers, lads, say they've never seen anything like it. Some of your thoughts, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually from Tucson myself. I grew up in Tucson. I'm a Tucson native. Even though I study climate science and I put more stock in what the charts are telling me than what my own personal memory is, because human memory can be fraught sometimes, right? But I think you're correct. This summer does truly feel different, and I think it's that combined effect of that gradual warming that we've seen from climate change. It's the continued urban development that we've had that's increased our urban heat island effect, and then also what's happening this summer, of course, is the El Nino system, a normal part of the climate system. If essentially that's kind of supercharged some of these hot temperatures that we're seeing. So,
you know, I've been around 35 years in the media in this town, and I remember, and perhaps you remember him, Jonathan Overpeck, one of the fine internationally renowned environmental scientist who back in the 90s, mid-90s to late 90s, was writing about and talking about. I know I interviewed him several times during that period. And he was warning then, lad, that what the early signs of the global warming would be these intensive weather events that we've been seeing. And it's come to pass, lad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you also characterized it correctly, that it's not just heat that we're being impacted by, but, similar as many of us across Tucson, right, have been kind of impacted by the drought and the lack of rain during June, the delayed onset of the monsoon rain, and then the high temperatures that just haven't had reprise. And of course, you know, we've always had periods where it gets really hot in Tucson, so that's nothing new. But I think what feels different about this summer, it's been those sustained high temperatures, and even the nighttime temperatures are approaching what Phoenix used to feel like at night, right? It's not cooling off as much as before. And then kind of on top of that, you have things like we had another lightning-sparked wildfire in the Catalinas. The wildfire risk is increasing. But then on top of that, you mentioned the two storms. And, you know, those two storms probably have some connection to climate change, because a hotter atmosphere does hold more energy, does hold more water. And so we are seeing the trend that when these storms happen, we're not getting the nice kind of consistent rainfall that we used to, but they're a little bit more severe and the rainfall is coming down more at once as well. So I think very much in line with what the projections for climate change have been telling us, like you said, for decades at this point.
Yeah, and I'm looking right now, lad, at today's New York Times, and the lead story on page A10 on the national section. The headline is Phoenix's month in hell. 31 days of extreme heat tests a city. Now, they've been covering Phoenix heavily during the month of July and are still covering Phoenix. But why not transition to how other cities in the Southwest are covering a month of hell, lad?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would like to ask that myself, right? But I think it's natural to kind of look at Phoenix as the epicenter of a lot of this attention, just due to the fact that the temperatures are even higher than what Tucson's experiencing, and then the fact that they have a larger population. But they also have some interesting responses going on. And so they have the nation's first publicly funded office of heat mitigation and response. And they have quite a few efforts going on to address that heat as well during this almost crisis period, right?
Yeah, I want to pick up on that after the break about what cities can do and what is the mitigation. And perhaps before we do take the break, Ladd Keith, you're a contributing author to a new media guide, speaking of the media, for covering extreme heat and its effects. Give us kind of an overview. What are some of the highlights of what's in this new media guide?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a management committee member of the United Nations, the World Health Organizations, and World Meteorological Organizations, Global Heat Health Information Network. So kind of experts from across the world that work on heat health information. And with this increased attention occurring this year, this summer, we wanted to make sure that the media had kind of a fact-based resource, almost like an FAQ or guidelines, as a lot of journalists are new to the topic of heat and kind of covering it for the first time. And so some of our practical recommendations were to not just wait for an extreme heat event like we're currently in, but to kind of do these stories and create awareness beforehand, which can result in more in-depth stories and kind of different angles that might be interesting. To not just focus on those extreme daytime temperatures, but also look at the nighttime temperatures, because those are extremely detrimental to human health when they're high for a period of time. Covering things like not just look at outdoor settings, but also look at heat's impact on indoor settings, so the workplace and people's homes. And then I think this one's one of my favorite ones that I constantly kind of come across when I'm looking over heat stories. But a lot of the imagery that accompanies these stories are often of, the headline might be something like killer heat in Phoenix, people suffering, heat wave occurring. And then it'll show children kind of at the park with ice cream cones, or people at the beach playing.
Yeah.
And kind of, it creates certainly a confusing message for the general public. And so we want to make sure that the media is showing the impacts of heat, and not kind of if people are dying from heat, not picking old pictures up of kids at a park, playing. If in actuality, there's no children out at the park when it's 110, right? So
I am so glad you brought that up, because I didn't get off the bus yesterday in this business covering news and information for more than 50 years. And as I reflect on the heat wave story, the traditional heat wave story, it is the sprinkler, the kids playing in the sprinkler. It's the kid having the ice cream cone. You got it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know personally, having done a lot of presentations on heat, it can actually be difficult to find images of heat that are sensitive, because we don't want to just show people suffering either, because those can be insensitive and kind of create other issues. But certainly we want to cover the issue, fairly, and show the actual impacts that are happening from it. So, and we, in the guidelines, we go over a whole host of other kind of practical recommendations, and we've gotten really good feedback from journalists that, again, it's by no ill will. Just a lot of them are being told to cover it by their editors for the first time, and kind of like just now getting into what is heat, what does it do to our communities, yeah, and what can we do to address it. So,
all right, Keith, stay, Ladd, stay with us. We're going to take a short break. We'll have about 5 or 6 minutes with you when we come back, and perhaps we can go into what are some of the innovative ways cities are dealing with our quickly changing climate. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you are looking to escape the very, very warm temperatures, hot temperatures in Arizona, how about heading over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Only about a three-hour drive. Our friends over in southwestnewmexico.org at Silver City in Grant County. That is their website. Start your planning by visiting their website. Great things to do. It's cool enough over in Silver City, especially in the morning, to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. So check it out. Look at that. Midday temperatures right now, about mid-80s. That's nice. And overnight lows in the mid-60s, mid to lower 60s. So a good time to get away. Their elevation is about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and that means you will be escaping the heat, and it will be at least, my guarantee, 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City. Going back now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Ladd Keith is a University of Arizona expert on heat policy and governance. He is at the University of Arizona College of Planning, Architecture, and Landscape Architecture. He's an assistant professor, and he has been working with the media. He actually put out a guide on how reporters should be, and some tips on covering extreme heat and its effects. And he's also part of a $25 million project funded by the Department of Energy to study the impact of climate change on Arizona's urban areas. So has the current heat wave emphasized the importance of that project?
Yeah, absolutely. So our original plans for the project remain largely unchanged, because we are anticipating heat waves to occur during the 5 years that we're awarded to do the program by the Department of Energy. But I think the heat wave has certainly called more attention to this as a critical issue for our communities and across the state. And we're focused on climate change modeling and field work, and then coming up with resilient solutions in partnership with community members and decision makers. So I think our plans stay the same, but certainly we've got a lot more interest as everyone's been experiencing this really record-breaking summer.
You mentioned that Phoenix, City of Phoenix, is the first in the nation to kind of have a climate person as a cabinet position within the city. What are some of the things they are looking at to mitigate the situation down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll go back a little bit and just say the area that I study is heat governance, and we defined that in a Nature paper as the actors, strategies, and processes in institutions that can both mitigate and manage heat as a hazard. And so we really see Phoenix kind of doing both this mitigation and management together. So by mitigating heat, we mean mitigating heat in the built environment and reducing that contribution that leads to the urban heat island effect through things like increased urban forestry, experimenting with cool pavement, and then also reducing waste heat from air conditioning units and automobiles, making those more energy efficient as well. They're also focusing quite a lot on heat management, and that's really responding to the heat that we can't completely reduce, right? And so, again, we live in a desert. Some of that heat was always here historically, and it's increasing due to climate change. And so they're looking at a lot of things across the state, actually, better coordinating our cooling centers and the social services, particularly for people without housing. And we've seen in Maricopa County, they just recently released a heat-associated death report for 2022. They had 425 deaths last year, which was a 25% increase over the previous year and the eighth consecutive year of increases. And a really sad part of that is that half of those deaths last year were with people that didn't have housing, and so they're essentially exposed to heat both day and night. And so I know Phoenix is really looking at that part of the response efforts as well.
Lad, I want to ask you, you know, this repeated publicity of centering on Phoenix, I wonder if it may get to the point where people across the country who might have been thinking of, well, maybe we'll move out to Arizona, whether people are having second thoughts. And I know this is kind of a hard thing to quantify whether that's happening, but I would suspect it is. What's your take?
Yeah, no, I've heard a lot of questions about that this summer, certainly, but the numbers are still not showing that to be reality at this point, at least, right? So we still see Phoenix as one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the country, and it kind of remains to be seen if the heat that we're experiencing this year will slow down that trend. Certainly, I don't foresee it reversing that trend, but if it'll slow down that trend anytime soon. I think we also have to look at the water scarcity issue and the fact that in some places, they're no longer issuing permits for building new homes, right, because of the lack of assured water supply. So I think it's a couple of things that might happen at the same time.
Yeah, there might be a tipping point down the road. We'll see, Lad Key. Thank you, Lad. I appreciate the time. Good conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Bill.
All right, Lad Keith from the University of Arizona, where he is an assistant professor of planning and sustainable built environments in the UA College of Planning Architects and Landscape Architecture. Certainly a hot topic, if you will. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster, saying, I hope everybody can stay cool. Have a great afternoon, everyone.